Ora l'inizio devo amare, ora so che sei tu prese, I'm so glad you're in my life,
I'm so glad you're in my life,
and I'm so glad you're there to stay.
Endures forever. Father, there is none like you. Thank you for this beautiful day that you have made. Thank you for your presence among us. Thank you for your anointing, so mightily present. Thank you, Father, as you do your wonders among us today. Holy Spirit, no one can teach the Word of God like you. We want to be taught today. All of us, we do not ever want to be the same again. Father, let it be so in Jesus' name. We give you praise, our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give Jesus a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated. We have had two teachings on the sonship of Jesus Christ. This is the last of the three. In the introduction, we said that the most important thing in the life of anybody is to believe the Word of God. Whoever does not believe the Word of God, what God has laid down for us to believe and live by, will completely waste his life on earth. We looked at Solomon, who was so rich, So rich. God gave him so much money. But thank God. In the end, when he looked at everything, he described all of his labors, all of the materials that he accumulated, all of the money, the gold, the silver, servants, everything. He described them as vanity. As so. And we said, what does it mean to believe the word of God? The Christians, they call them Onigbagbo. Some people say, well, I want to bank on God. They say you are the Christians who believe, but we also believe something other than what you believe. So we raised the question, if anybody who just believes something else is a believer, then the idol worshiper is a believer, because the idol worshiper also believes something else. Are you with me? And the atheist also becomes a believer because he believes that there is no God. That is something. He believes something. So we must conclude. The fact that you just believe something does not make you a believer. Hallelujah. The believer is the one who believes what God gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is the one who believes that, that is the believer. Reason? Without him, you can be here. You can make money. You can marry wives and wives. You can build castles and castles, and there are many of them in Ilari. You can see them. But when you finally die, this is what Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? If you have not believed in him to have that everlasting life, it means that you have forfeited your soul. So what happens? What happens is that when the man dies, he comes out of this body. I don't know if I'll get into it as we go on. He comes out of this body, which is just a housing for the man. Hallelujah. This body is just like an overall jacket. I was talking in the United States at Bible study, and a young man was asking questions, and I told them, look, God gave you this body for terrestrial existence. He gave you this body so that you can exist on earth. If you take this body to the moon, you are not going to last for 1 minute, because this body is not made for the moon. So when they send somebody to the moon, they don't just send him like this. They put on him what is called a space suit. Do you follow my point? I believe you have seen it before. People who go to the moon or who go to space. They put something on them completely, which will create around them an environment that permits them to exist on the lunar surface. Are you with me? If something would tear that space suit off, in the next minute, the man is gone. By the same token, if something should destroy this body of yours, even here, very soon everybody will say, he's dead. Do you follow my point? Glory to God. So, if you have not believed in him, when you die, you come out of this body, you cross to the other side of the bridge of life, you look back, what you discover is this: all of your money is on the other side, all of your houses are on the other side, your wives and your servants are on the other side, all of the lands are on the other side, you have taken nothing across. So Jesus said, it doesn't profit you anything to gain all of those things, because you cannot take them across. You are leaving this world to move into a world of spiritual existence. Are you following me? You cannot carry the material things along with you, but every spiritual blessing that is in you can go with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. The things that go with you are the spiritual things, not the material things. I think yesterday we talked briefly about the rich man and Lazarus. My friend was talking about a man who says, If I suffer on earth, everybody will see it. But if I suffer there, nobody will see it. So let me make myself enjoy this world anyhow. So when I go, I said, the man must be a fool. He doesn't know that when you cross to the other side, so they see you too. Because Lazarus saw the rich man. Do you remember?
Yes.
Glory to God. I said he must be a fool. He doesn't know anything about heaven. He only knows about this world. He knows nothing about heaven. Lazarus saw the rich man. The rich man saw Lazarus. And there, both of them knew the difference. Because the rich man begged, let Lazarus just put a drop of water on my tongue. So the first became the last. The last became the first. May God help you. And we said that faith in God does not necessarily mean that you understand what you have believed, but you believe it because it is the word of God. That's powerful faith. See, along with the power now, God cannot lie. If this is what God said, it has to be true. I believe it, like Father Abraham. Hallelujah. Now we're talking about radical faith, like Joshua, who commanded the sun to stay there, and the sun stood there. And then remember, we came to look at the Godhead. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there was a God before what is called the beginning there, because he was doing the creation. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:1, then you go to 1:2, there you discover the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. So there is a Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So if God is a Spirit, then the Spirit of God must be God. Amen. Yes. If God is a Spirit, then the Spirit of God must be God. So we see two of them, God, His Spirit. Each of them is God. Hallelujah. Then we went on. Genesis 1:6 onwards. Each time God wanted to create, God would say, let there be light. The Bible would say, and God made the light. Hallelujah. Let there be this, and God made it. Let there be this one, and God made whatever God commanded, some God went to make. And we said, nobody in his right mind would ordinarily behave like himself standing alone in his house. He wants to eat. Maybe you came as a visitor. Now, Baba Jolore said he can always come to your house. You have to buy him fruit juice. Maybe the visitor is there. Then he sees his host standing. And the host says, now let there be breakfast. He's talking to himself. Then he goes to the pantry. He carries the cornflakes. Let us now put yam on the stove. Then he goes to carry the yam. You are going to be wondering, what is wrong with my host? When God was saying, let there be, there must have been somebody else there that God was talking to. Go and make this. Then he goes to make it. And when you come to Genesis 1:26, we said the plurality of God became clear. God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. So it was not one person there. Hallelujah. Then we went to the book of John chapter 1, verse 1. Somebody can say to me, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So we knew. Each time the Bible said, God said, let there be this. And God made. Now we knew there were two entities there called God. One expressed the desire. The other carried it out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let me explain this one to us. You know, we said that the image of God as given in the Bible. But the tripartite nature of God. And God is spirit, soul, and body in equivalence. God is different from all other spirits. Hallelujah. God is a different kind of spirit. Man is a different kind of creature. The angels have two entities in them. They have soul, they have spirit. They don't have a body like this. Hallelujah. A spirit being basically does not have a body like this. When Jesus appeared to his disciples after he resurrected and they were afraid, he said, "It is I." Praise the Lord. He said, "It is not a spirit. It is I." He said, "Look at me." He said, "Touch me. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have." Praise the Lord. So spirit doesn't have these ones, but they have spirit and soul. But God has a spirit. We call him the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:2. God has a soul component. We call him the Father or God. Hallelujah. God has the equivalent of a body. We call him the Christ. Praise the Lord. And you are going to see now, you see, all the days of your life that you have studied your Bible or read your Bible or gone to fellowships, people have not said the body of the Father, the body of the Holy Spirit, but people say the body of Christ, because he's the body equivalent. For the same reason, he is the one who came here bodily. Do you follow my point? Hallelujah. See, you have seen me for years, at least many of you here. You have always seen my body. You have never seen my spirit. You have never seen my soul. Have you?
No.
So we have seen Jesus here. You don't see the Holy Spirit. You can see him symbolically, appearing as different things at different times, whatever he sends to you. But the Holy Spirit himself, people have not been seen. He interacts with you. You haven't really seen the Father, because he's the soul component. When his disciples said, "Show us the Father," remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." So, if you have seen me, Emmanuel Okala, you are looking at everything in me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's nothing else to look for. This is me. Hallelujah. So then we look at Adam, the making of Adam, when God was creating Adam, so that we can understand why Jesus is the Son of God. We have to start from things that God has done before to understand things that he did later. We said that the Bible says it and the Quran says it. God took dust, right? And he molded the man into a shape. Praise the Lord. He molded him, a lifeless mass, just lying there. And God did what? Sent his breath of life into the lifeless mass. And what happened? Man became a living soul. And we said the reason for that was because if you are going to produce your own son, we use human beings as examples, the father-to-be must now carnally, because we are human beings, transfer his own heritable attributes into the woman who will get pregnant. Are you with me now? Most of us here know that. Praise the Lord. Married or unmarried, we know that. The man must transfer his heritable attributes into the woman in a process that we call sexual intercourse. That is how men do it. Praise the Lord. But the way that God did it in the case of Adam was to send his breath. It doesn't matter so long as you transfer those attributes. Hallelujah. And he became a living soul. And we know that life is an attribute of God. No God, no life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so if you go to the book of Luke chapter 3 verse 38, the last verse, we have the genealogy of Jesus Christ, tracing him all the way back to Adam. And let me read to you straight what it says. I pick it from the last word of verse 37, or the last phrase, the son of Canaan, who was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Did you know that Adam was the son of God? We looked at him like somebody that God just made. But the Bible says he was the Son of God. Why? Why was Adam the Son of God? Why? God created many other things. That's what I was going to say next. But why was Adam the Son of God? Because God sent his own breath into that thing. The Bible says that is the Son of God. Once your heritable attributes are responsible for producing this individual, that individual is your son. So God created a lot of things before Adam. Didn't he? How many of them have been called the Son of God? Zero. No way. No animals have ever been called the Son of God. No. But man is a Son of God. Somebody was introducing me and said, I studied biology. I hope I'm forgetting some biology now and knowing more of the scriptures. Praise the Lord. You see, in biology, you classify all living things into two kingdoms, essentially two kingdoms, plants or animals. So biology classifies man as an animal. Read your Bible. See where God ever referred to man as an animal. That was a mess in biology. Now tell me why God will not refer to man as an animal. Why? You're not just with his breath, yes, but his image. If God will call man an animal, he has addressed himself as an animal. So God will never do that. The next time that you see somebody, you say, you animal, be careful, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Because he is the image of God. In Genesis chapter 9, God commanded, you must never kill a human being. He says, for he was made in the image of God. One translation is so beautiful. That translation says, for yet, he is the image of God. Which means that something is wrong, but something remains. For yet, do you follow my point? You know what was wrong? What did he lose? How did God make him in Genesis chapter 1? In our image, after our likeness. So if God says, for yet, he is the image of God, then what is missing now? The likeness. He doesn't behave like God anymore. Sin has taken over his life. The devil is now ruling his life. He is no longer behaving like God. But the image, the architecture, that was the word that I used for you in the past. The design is the same, but the behavior is now off track. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, there are different categories of beings called the sons of God. You know that the angels are referred to in the Bible as the sons of God. You know that. Praise the Lord. The book of Job chapter 1, look at it. Genesis chapter 6, we mentioned that before. Hallelujah. But why is that? It is because they have attributes of God. Praise the Lord. See, the angels do have certain attributes of God. You know their awesome power. You know how they do miracles, but for the glory of God. There is one angel who still does miracles. He is called Lucifer, or Satan, or the devil. He hasn't lost his power, but he has lost his position. Are you with me? Glory to God.
Amen.
Also, Adam, whom we have mentioned, as the Son of God now, who was created but not begotten. Hallelujah. So you see, God can have a son without a woman. Amen. He is God. If something becomes impossible for God, I will serve him again. It means that he is not God anymore. Nothing can be impossible for him. Human being cannot say, because we have to have sex with a woman to get her pregnant, then God must. Neither can we conclude, because God does not have sex with a woman, God cannot have a son by a woman. That limits the power of God. Hallelujah. That limits the omnipotence of God. Amen. Now, let me remind you of some things in the Bible. Some of you are familiar with this. The prophet Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Suddenly the son of the widow died. Have it? Now you remember the story? Elijah must have been a confused prophet that day. And he was determined, this boy must wake up. So, the Bible said, Elijah went in to the boy. What did he do? He laid on the boy, nose for nose, mouth for mouth, leg for leg, head for head. What was happening there? Breathing on the boy. The life of God is in me. On the boy. Hallelujah. But life is still in me. I'm going to transfer it into the boy. Glory to God. The Bible said, eventually the boy did what? He woke up. The Shunammite woman. Elisha had blessed her with a son, then she had the son. Then suddenly the Bible said, the boy said, my head, my head, my head. Before you knew it, he was gone. The woman got into the cart. Her husband, any problem? No problem. Don't hinder me. He ran to the man of God. Any problem? It shall be well. I didn't beg for a son. You said I have to have one. It is here now. See what has happened. The prophet sent the wrong guy to start with. Praise the Lord. But let's forget about him. When Elisha himself finally got there, what Elijah did to the son of the widow of Zarephath, Elisha did to the son of the Shunammite woman. Laid on him. He got up. The Bible said he walked around. He came back, stretched himself on him, transferring life into him. Eventually, what the boy sneezed, and the boy woke up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we see this process of transferring life, a heritable material, is always there before us. God does it. God has done it before. People have done it before. Hallelujah. But then, let me show you this one. The Gospel of John chapter 20, verse 22. When you get home, please read whole chapters, but I don't have the time for that. Jesus and his disciples. This is beautiful. When Jesus had finished this, he breathed upon them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Wonderful. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. Now Jesus is saying to them, receive the Holy Ghost. But he did what? He breathed upon them. That breath of God is something. Hallelujah. But in verse 22, Jesus added, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But that is something else, because until that point, it was known the only one who could forgive sins was God. So the power to forgive sins is an attribute of God, now given to the believers by Jesus Christ. By breathing on them and transferring that power into them to forgive sins or retain sins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let us look at Jesus. How he was born. The angel came to Mary. And what did the angel say? What did he say to Mary? The power of the Almighty shall come upon you. And what else? The Holy Ghost shall overshadow you. Praise the Lord. But before he even said that, he said that when Mary raised the question, are you with me? All he first said was, you are going to conceive in your womb. That was the way he put it. You follow my point? You would wonder if she would have conceived on her back. No. But the angel said, you are going to conceive in your womb, and you are going to have a child. Praise the Lord. You will have a son. You will call his name Jesus. He will be the Son of the Most High. Mary said, how can these things be, seeing that I know not a man? I know no man. I have never met with a man. Legitimate question. How can I get pregnant in my womb like a natural woman when a man has never slept with me? So the angel said, the power of the Almighty shall come upon you, and the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. Next verse he said, therefore. Therefore means causal effect. Something is responsible for what I want to say now, right? It says, therefore, that holy thing that you will give birth to will also be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, my question is this. Look back at Adam. The mass of dust molded lying there. If God wanted to breathe into his nostrils, I suppose the Almighty has to come upon him. I believe so. You doubt it? You want to, I'm lying now, you want to breathe into my nostrils? You have to come to me. Hallelujah. You have to come upon me, and when you get to where I am, you must bend over me and overshadow me. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You must bend over me and overshadow me, and then send your breath into me. So when the Almighty came upon Mary, and the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, can you guess what was happening? What was happening? Thank you very much. So he was transferring heritable attributes into Mary. Praise the Lord. The process has happened again. And it is now happening again. The same procedure, except that for now, the starting material is just different. The starting material is not dust. Praise the Lord. And we explained that in the book of John. The Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. In Adam, dust was made flesh. But in Jesus, the Word, Spirit, was made flesh. That's the difference. Glory to God.
Amen.
He said, therefore, that Son will be called the Son of God. What does therefore refer to? The fact that, because of the fact that the Almighty will come upon you, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And Mary didn't ask any more questions. Mary understood that it is a normal process. That is how it happens physically. It is just that the angel is now saying to her, that process will happen spiritually. Hallelujah. So she didn't ask any more questions. She believed, oh, so my son will have a father. Because the father is the one who comes upon the woman and overshadows the woman. Question, did God have sex with Mary? No, he didn't have to have sex with one Adam to produce another Adam. Hallelujah. No, because God is not flesh and blood, God is spirit. What you have to accomplish physically, God can accomplish in a thousand ways spiritually. To dispute it is to disrespect God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. This is so beautiful. See, look at me as I'm standing. I said it a few minutes ago. You see me. But inside of me, as you're looking at me, I have all of the genes of my father. I have all of the genes of my mother, expressed or not expressed physically. But they're there. Doctor, I hope I'm right. I won't ask the lawyer. Praise the Lord. They are there. Even if you're not looking at them. See, the Yorubas have something they do when they name people. For example, if the father's name was Oyeyemi and the mother's name was Olawumi, eh? They have a son. They may call that son Oyeyiola. Do you follow my point? See, Oyeyiola. So, when you call the name of the son, not only are you calling him, you have called his father, you have called his mother, like it or not. That is what you have done. Hallelujah. See, we all came from heaven. We brought some things from there. See, we don't remember what we used to be there. Thank God we don't remember. Because people who want to go back quickly will just be committing suicide to go back. But Jesus knew what he was before he came here. He had to know. Colossians 1:19, the word of God says, it has pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Hallelujah. That in him, Jesus, is the fullness of the Father and the Holy Spirit. So that in this one Jesus, when you say Jesus, like if you call me now and I am coming to you, everything in me is coming towards you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
If the fullness is in him, when you call his name Jesus, it means that you have addressed those who were there when he was being produced. The Almighty, who is the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says of his name, God gave him a name that is above every name. It is not that the individual himself was above the one that he called the Father. Do you follow my point? Because regularly he refers to my Father. Indeed he said, my Father is greater than I. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
Yes. He said, my Father is greater than I. However, the name that is given to him is above every name. Because when you call that name given to him, that name includes the Father and the Holy Spirit who brought him about. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is so good. He's so good. People say, okay, if you say that he's the Son of God, how does that make him God? And I ask them, it's very interesting, when we go on evangelism, you see, people just need to understand. See, the letter killer, says the Bible, the letter kills. If you just know how to read, please seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Period. Remember the eunuch of Ethiopia? How many people remember the eunuch of Ethiopia? Beautiful. Was he educated? Wasn't he educated? Was he educated? The man was going in his cart. Somebody was driving him. And what was he doing? He was reading. You say he was not educated? He was reading. He was reading from the book of the prophet. And when the Holy Spirit brought Philip to join him, Philip said, do you understand what you are reading? And you know what the educated man said? How can I understand except somebody explains to me? So knowing how to read does not mean that you understand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then Philip explains to him about Jesus, led to the slaughter like a dumb lamb. Hallelujah. Explained the importance of Jesus to his salvation. And they saw water. And it was the eunuch of Ethiopia who first said, hey, pull up the cart. Men of God, here is water. Why don't you baptize me now? Look, he understood and he was ready. Thank God. And Philip baptized you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So Philip dipped him in water. And he was baptized. So people say, if you say he's the Son of God, how does that make him God? And I ask them, in your house, do you have goats? They say yes. It's very interesting. Look, you teach these Muslim men the truth of the Word of God, and they begin to respond, and they can see it. Those who were at the early birth program, you saw some of that. from the video. Hallelujah. Do you have goats in your house? They say yes. When your goat delivers, what does it deliver? They say, who doesn't? So, why must the son of your goat be a goat? Why doesn't your goat deliver a dog? Do you have dogs? Yes, we have dogs. When your dog delivers, what does it deliver? They say, Ajanami. Now ask them. So, Tolom Babi Makilomolong. Tianyami. Aberoku. Abolong. So, the Son of God must be a God. Isn't it God who created all of the processes? Okay. The Bible said, the one who made the eyes, will he not see? Do you follow my point? So, if it is not in his mind to do things that way, then why did he give it to us? Didn't we come from the mind of God? But see, the Jews understood. You remember, we were talking with Jesus. They said, you see, you called yourself the Son of God, thereby making yourself equal with God. Didn't they tell him that? See, the Jews understood these things, but we are thrown off. The Jews understood it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I want to do my usual tests. No man can pass this test, but women can. Clap for the women. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The women can. Every woman who has a child, please stand up. You have a child, at least one. Don't care how the child came, just stand up. By husband or whatever. You, so long as you have a child, you can take this test. Somebody said, oh, party. Isn't it true that it can happen one way or the other? Uh-huh. It's just that one way is not righteous, the other is. But the child is still a child. We still bless those children. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Anybody who had a test tube baby, please sit down. If your baby was a test tube one, nobody here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to ask some questions, and you will respond to these questions. If the father of your child did not come upon you, as the Bible said, the power of the Almighty will come upon Mary. We are taking it now for real test. If the father of your own child did not come upon you, please have your seat. If he came upon you, please remain standing. So, those fathers came upon you.
Yes.
Thank God. Question number two. If the father of your child did not overshadow you, you may sit down. So they overshadowed you. Do you see the language of God in the Bible? Now, there's one other test, which is not specifically mentioned in the Bible, but which I have explained, because we have looked at processes. Breathing on, the Quran says, God just breathed on Mary, and Mary got pregnant. That's what it says. Glory to God, it says that. And I pray that Islamic scholars will understand the spirit behind that saying. For it is the spirit that giveth life. I want to ask you one question. It's a big one. The father of your child, if he did not breathe upon you, even in the physical realm, look back now. He didn't breathe upon you. Upon you, if he did not sit down, sit, have your seat.
Everyone, sir.
Everyone. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. See, that is the message. It is the message. This child is the Son of God. The process is complete. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, mothers. Please be seated. If we need you next time, we'll call you again. Oh, the Lord is beautiful. The Lord is so beautiful. Jesus is truly the begotten Son of God. Remember, I said Adam was the Son of God, not begotten, but made. Jesus is a different category, the only begotten Son of God. That is one more category we make four. That's those who believe in Him, according to John 1, those who receive Him, He gave authority to be the children of God. So we are the children of God by Jesus Christ unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The Lord is so good. Oh. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 13, says that we are pilgrims on earth. We are pilgrims on earth. So, who is a pilgrim? Some pilgrims have just returned from Mecca. Praise the Lord. They have just returned this past week or so, the last batch. When they got to Mecca, they didn't say that they were Saudis. They knew that they were Nigerians, that they came briefly and will be going back. Are you with me? The Bible says that we are pilgrims on earth, which means we are here for a brief period. We will be going back home. The book of Isaiah chapter 51, pick it from verse 1. He calls you to the rock that you were cut out of. Are you with me? He says, remember, look at where you came from. Some people don't remember heaven. They only know about this world. They don't want to hear about heaven. Let me enjoy. The Bible says, let me just eat and drink. Business, let me just accumulate money. Maybe tomorrow I die. So if you have accumulated a lot of money fraudulently and you die tomorrow, big deal. We said it the other time. Solomon, who had all that money, not even fraudulently, when he died, the one who inherited it was a fool. So what's the big deal? Hallelujah. So let us remember, we have to go back someday. You go back into eternal life, eternal peace with Jesus Christ, or you go back into perdition. Whatever you do that makes you feel that you don't need God, the devil is pushing you down the cliff. He's really pushing you hard. When a man says, leave me alone, I don't need any God, too bad. Too bad. And there is no other name given under heaven by which you can be saved. It is the name of Jesus. There are no two ways. People say, oh, no, people know what. Heaven is not a market. Heaven is not a market. Heaven is a place of selected people. You cannot bring your crisis mind into God's perfect kingdom. There was an entity there before called Lucifer. He was beautiful. And he is still beautiful. Still beautiful. Powerful, very close to God, until it got into his head. And there was a rebellion in heaven, and they cast him out. God will not bring anybody with a rebellious mind into his kingdom. Anybody who is incompatible with his own Son, who rules and reigns in heaven, cannot come into his kingdom. It's not possible. If Americans know somebody who has been a criminal, where he's coming from, they will not give him a visa to go to America. They'll check you out. They will not give you a visa to enter America. Why do you think that they will let you enter heaven? Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
John explained about Jesus. And we can see why people don't receive him. He said he came to his own. Are you with me? He came to his own, and his own did not recognize him. They did not know him. Do you follow me? They did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave the power to be sons of God. So, if you didn't understand, you might not have received him. If you didn't understand, you could have rejected him. Paul said, there was a time when I looked at Jesus just like a man. He said, but now, I don't look at things the old way anymore. I look at things in a different way, not in physical terms, but from the eye of the Spirit. He says, therefore, using himself as an example, when a man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The way that you used to look at him before, shed that coat, put on this truth, and come into eternal life. If anybody ever persecuted the church so bitterly, it was Paul. And if anybody ever served with all of his life, Paul was one of them. Because he turned around, he saw it. What he saw, may God let you see it today.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says he is the first begotten, the first begotten of all. The first begotten of all. I said, if somebody said, can you tell us the first to deliver? You might say Adam. Do you follow my point? You might say Adam. Then I might say, well, what if some animal had delivered before Adam? No, but the first begotten of all. All means things on earth and things in heaven. Hallelujah. That before anything was made, he had been there. And he had been the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what happened with Mary was the physical manifestation of events that had happened in the ageless past in the spirit world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know that this physical world is ruled by the spirit world? Before things happen here, they are perfected there. Hallelujah. Amen. It is very interesting. When you study the Bible and you begin to pull things out and compare with history, it's beautiful. The Bible is one book. There is not one like it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus is the first begotten of all. And all things were made by him and for him. And in him do all things consist. Hallelujah. So as you came from somewhere and God said, remember where you came from. So Jesus came from somewhere to do his own assignment on earth as you are doing your own on earth. And he has gone back to where he came from. I hope that you know where you are going to. There is nothing in between. The end of the soul of a man is heaven or hell. There is nothing in between. My prayer is this, that nobody sitting here today will ever go to hell.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads to pray. Let us pray. Let everybody just pray. Just talk to God from your heart. Just talk to him from your own heart. And tell him, my God and my Father, thank you today. And I have got to understand Jesus more today. Holy Spirit, my teacher, thank you. Thank you for revealing Jesus Christ.